Hi, guys. Just a reminder that this podcast, as well as many of my online resources, is delivered freely. If you would like to help me get this message of healing out to millions of people around the world, please consider clicking on the donate button on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. Thank you. Hello, my favorite people. How is everybody today? This is Nicole, and welcome to my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain. I'm so happy to be here with you today. So as you are listening to this, I will be moving my oldest daughter into college. Pray for my soul. Pray for my sanity. No, I'm just kidding. It's going to be fantastic. I'm going with the positive. I'm just deciding it's going to be great. And you know what? Whatever. It'll be what it'll be. But I will certainly let you guys know about how it went on the other side. So in the meantime, I was able in advance to record a fantastic interview with Kate Murphy. If those of you who are familiar with her work on Instagram, her handle is at Kate's Clean Life. And Kate is a really awesome example of somebody who's doing this work in every way, mind, body, and spirit. So Kate is a kinesiologist, which is a movement expert. She's also a holistic personal trainer, and she's a foundation training instructor. And usually when I meet people like this, my first thought is, oh God, they're so in the physical. They would never consider the mind-body connection when it comes to pain cessation or whole body health. And actually, it was quite the opposite of that. When I met Kate, she reached out to me over Instagram and she and I were talking about her experience. We also did an Instagram Live, and I learned in the Instagram Live that Kate actually believes wholeheartedly in the mind-body connection, so much so that she expressed to me that she believes, even with all her credentials and the work that she does, if you don't deal with your emotional health, your physical health can never improve. So even though she knows that, well, I won't go as far as will never improve. You could never be pain-free and in complete freedom. If you have an emotional stimuli that's leading to a physical condition, which of course, this is all we talk about on this podcast, if you don't deal with that, you're not going to get well. And so she has this really incredible personal story where the very thing that was going to keep her stuck, which was foot pain, considering that she's a fitness expert and also very, very into fitness herself in her personal life, stopped her in her tracks, leading her to be basically bedbound, and doing this mind-body work is what has completely cured her. So it's a great interview. It's an awesome story. I love to introduce in this podcast every kind of expert, every kind of perspective, because we need it all, mind, body, and spirit. We need it all to be well. So enjoy this interview as I am hauling boxes and trying to take care of my mind, body, and spirit as I move my child into college. For those of you joining us at my second virtual weekend retreat, that's about 3 weeks from now. And if you haven't signed up yet, there is still room. I don't know how many spots by the time this airs, but if you are interested, I would sign up at ASAP. Your retreat fee includes the deluxe download of my online course and all four of my original meditations. And so it's a great deal. So I hope to see you there. And just so you know, you will get a lot of my personal attention. And it's really a fabulous way to come together and learn about this work. All right. I'm not going to do too much more of the intro because I want to get to Kate's interview. If you are new to the work, just hop over to thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. Everything you need to know about my work and where to find it is there. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please hop over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps people find the podcast who are suffering in the dark and need it. All right, my loves, enjoy this interview with Kate Murphy, and I will see you on the other side of college move-in. Take care. Hi, everybody. I am here with Kate Murphy, otherwise known as Kate's Clean Life on Instagram, where I first got to know her. And after we did an Instagram Live last week, I just was so interested in hearing more of her story and exposing her story to as many people as possible, because I was very inspired by it mostly because of the fact that she, and Kate, you're going to tell me, but seems like a personal trainer type fitness person who also believes strongly in the mind-body connection, and so much so that is that she is communicating the message that if we don't attend to our emotional world, it is impossible to fix our physical body, which is such an important message for me. So I am just, I basically know nothing about you, Kate, but welcome to the podcast and I cannot wait to learn more.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Nicole. This message is one that's very near and dear to my heart. And I absolutely love spreading the truth and the word. So I'm excited to be here.
Great, great. So I just want to start with you the way I start with most of my interviewees and real-time healers, which is I'm just fascinated by your story. So kind of open us up with how you, how this has evolved in your own body, how you got to this kind of work and what it has sort of become in your life now.
Yeah, absolutely. It starts about 10 years ago. I had just graduated from college and just gotten married. And I had just started my first job as a personal trainer, straight out of school. And just a couple months into kind of all of this, you know, all of this stuff happening in my life at one time, I started to get some neck tension. And I had been in a really bad car accident my freshman year in college. I had flipped my car on some bad roads going about 80 miles an hour and flipped end over end and had some pretty severe whiplash. And that was about a year or two before my neck started to bother me again. Of course, I was a personal trainer. So you start with, I'm just going to strengthen everything. And then, of course, you know, that didn't work. And so I saw a physical therapist and finally, nothing was working. And so I saw a medical doctor and had some imaging. And of course, they find what I now know to be normal age-related changes within the spine and the cervical area. But at that point, I was diagnosed with something called occipital neuralgia, which is just basically an irritation of the occipital nerve. And then the nerve becomes inflamed and that causes the muscles to spasm. And it's a cycle that goes on and on. So like I said, I had just gotten married and started my dream job. I'd always wanted to be a personal trainer. It was really kind of at a high point in my life and started to deal with this neck pain. And it was relentless. It wouldn't go away. And almost the more that I did, the harder I tried to make it go away, which I'm sure this sounds familiar to you, the worse it was. Of course, after seeing the imaging and the bulging discs and the abnormalities within my spine, that takes the fear and the pain to a whole nother level naturally. So that lasted about it's about a year of pretty severe chronic pain and to the point where I ended up having to quit my job and was pretty much bedridden for a good handful of months. My mom had to come and stay with us to take care of me and make me meals. And my days mostly consisted of, you know, doctor's appointments, and I had more injections than I can even count and saw just every kind of pain management doctor, physical therapist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, I mean, you name it. I was there multiple times and just was not getting much relief. And so interestingly, with the neck pain, it really wasn't Dr. Sarno's work or realizing that it was TMS that got me out of pain. It was more the placebo for the neck pain. I ended up seeing a chiropractor who had worked with a lot of people with occipital neuralgia. And he was a very confident man. And he said, you know, I can get you better. You know, this is your x-ray. We just need to move C1 over here and C2 over here and get the pressure off the nerve. And it's no wonder you're in pain. And we're going to do this and you're going to get better. So, you know, after spending about a year in debilitating pain and really just no hope. I mean, doctors, you know, we were talking about surgeries. There was a surgeon overseas that we were starting to consult with, just thinking, you know, this is my life. We've got to do something. The pain was so severe that, you know, they were giving me muscle relaxers and pain medication and so many different things. And I just wasn't getting any relief. And my quality of life was just pretty, pretty low at that point. I was, like I said, mostly in bed, and I had lost 20 or 30 pounds just because I was, you know, the pain and the stress. I wasn't eating. I wasn't hungry. I wasn't sleeping. There was nights where I would maybe, you know, sleep for an hour or two because the pain was so severe. So it obviously was pretty consuming. And so this chiropractor and his confidence really kind of you know, looking back and knowing what I know now about TMS, was a great placebo for me. I got better pretty quickly. It was in a couple of months of working with him and, you know, seeing the new improved alignment and really just taking on the belief that the pressure was off the nerve. And I slowly started to get better. And just about the first time that I worked out, and probably a little over a year, I remember thinking, okay, I'm better now. My neck's okay. And it's time to get back into this fitness thing. And so I went out for a run one morning, and being the type A personality that I was, it felt so good. And I was so excited. I mean, not being able to exercise for me was a lot like a death sentence. And as anybody knows, anybody who knows who struggled with TMS, it's got to be something that really gets your attention and takes you out of the game, so to say. So my excitement for being back and healthy again was just, I was over the moon. And so my run was a bit long, and I remember getting back from my run and both of the bottom of my feet started to hurt pretty quickly and pretty severely right after the run. And I thought, oh, I just overdid it, and typical me. And so I iced my feet, and that was a big...
I want to press pause in your story for 1 second to highlight something that people might have missed if they don't know this work the way I know it and the way very clearly you know it. So when Kate went to the chiropractor, she is qualifying her experience as a placebo effect. And some might be listening to this and saying, why is she saying that? She went to a chiropractor. He did the adjustment. The nerve is no longer being impinged and she's out of pain. And it's not that I'm sitting here against chiropractic or anything like that, but I love, Kate, that you identified it as a placebo, because what I know is about to happen in this story, even though I've never heard it before, is because she did not know that she had to do the emotional work and in turn did not do the emotional work, the moment that her relief from believing that she had been quote unquote healed by the chiropractor, the moment that that belief was enough to get her running, the emotional repression that was trying to express itself through the neck started expressing itself through the feet.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So I just wanted to bring that up because I know that that might have been a confusing moment for people. And I want to say that 100% I am loving this, because you are calling this out for what a lot of people feel very confused about, which is, didn't the chiropractor heal her? And it wasn't the adjustment that healed you. It was the confidence and the belief that the practitioner had that eased your nervous system enough for that pain to subside. But the moment you continued on with your life without having done the work, now we get the feet.
That's exactly right. And we'll get to this part, Nicole, but that's part of what makes me so successful in my practice. My practice has changed since, and we can get there, but just knowing all of those parts and knowing oftentimes that when I'm working with someone on a physical level, I'm quite aware that some of it is the placebo. And for some, it's all the placebo. So we can kind of get to that part. But so the foot pain showed up, and that was the beginning of, gosh, I want to say it was about 2 years of this horrible foot pain. And of course, you try all the non-invasive orthotics and rest and all that kind of stuff, and then eventually ended up seeing a couple different orthopedic surgeons and getting a couple different opinions. And two of them right away just said, you know, you're going to need a tarsal tunnel release. They basically said this is tarsal tunnel, which is very similar to carpal tunnels, just in the feet and ankles. It's a nerve impingement, again, causing burning and tingling and all different kinds of pain in the feet and ankles. And they were very quick to say, you know, you overpronate, you have flat feet. You've got some dysfunctional movement patterns here. You know, you're going to need to have surgery on both feet, and you know, you probably won't be running pain-free. This syndrome tends to be one that can reoccur, and blah blah blah. But I just kind of knew somewhere in the back of my head that just didn't feel like the truth to me. And again, it was a couple of years. It was really tough being a personal trainer, because one of the doctors suggested, he said, you know, Kate, if you just stay off of your feet for 3 months, this could heal. That nerve could settle down and your condition could heal. And so I remember about 3 months of, I was still personal training, but I was rolling around on a little physio ball so that I could stay off my feet. And I was showering, sitting down and putting my makeup on, sitting down, and probably only spending about 2 minutes a day on my feet, which is no easy task, but you know, you do anything that you can to get better, especially when you're as active as I am. Again, that was something that was, it was a death sentence. It was absolutely devastating to, you know, have my husband go out for a run and not be able to join him, and home for Christmas and my family's going on a walk, and here I am with my feet in a bucket of ice, and just absolutely devastating to me. So, again, I tried it all. You know, I had seen so many different professionals, and then you're starting to think, well, I had this neck nerve thing, and now I've got this other nerve thing. Of course, doctors were drawing conclusions like, you know, this is potentially something like multiple sclerosis. We need to go down that pathway and rule out some of these, you know, more serious syndromes and diseases. So we did that. And of course, that's always scary, but nothing really came back. It was just mostly a diagnosis of, you know, you overpronate and yes, you need to have surgery. So I started looking for, you know, kind of the experts in the industry that were treating things more holistically and, but still on a physical level. I'm friends with a man named Ben Greenfield, who's one of the most influential people in health right now. And he's a personal trainer and a biohacker and just a fitness guru. And I reached out to him and he said, you know, have you heard of foundation training before? And it's really interesting because I became certified in foundation training down the road. Foundation training was the placebo for me again. And it was really interesting because it worked initially. And this is what I see with a lot of my clients. You know, you get excited about a new professional and somebody that knows your, you know, knows how to fix you, a new program. And so that's what happened for me. Initially, I went down, I got certified in this, therapy, and it worked great for a couple weeks until the pain came back. And then it was devastating, right? Because you try everything and you finally find something and you think, this is it, I'll have my life back. And again, it worked as a placebo initially, and then it didn't work. And so at that point, it was actually Dr. Eric Goodman, who's the creator of foundation training, who knew about Dr. Sarno's work in tension myositis syndrome. And he said, you know, Kate, I'm just thinking this is a possibility. Have you heard of TMS? And this was the first time I had ever heard of it. And I said, no, what, you know, what's TMS? And he said, just go buy this book and start to read. And so being the type A personality that I am, I dove into the research headfirst, and I read, I think it was Dr. Sarno's Healing Back Pain was the first book that I read. And I remember opening that book and reading about, I think the first couple, you know, sections were all about personality traits. And I just thought, well, this is strange because this book is written about me, perfectionist and people pleaser and goodness, and all of these traits are, this is me. And so that's what kind of grabbed my attention. And then from there, I was just devouring the content. And I remember going on Amazon and looking at the reviews of this book, thinking, what are other people saying about this? You know, this theory is, it's hard to wrap your head around. It's hard to believe. And I remember reading all the other testimonials of people who had been in my shoes and who had some of them multiple surgeries or, you know, years worth of chronic pain or gut issues or whatever it may be. And all of them, raving about this work and got, you know, got better. And so I really dove in and I read, you know, Steve Ozanich's book, and that's, I think I found you, Nicole, probably about a year into my journey. And what's really interesting is for me, just knowing that's what it was, you know, I was so convinced by, you know, what Dr. Sarno was saying about the personality types and how my pain had started, and just all, it just made so much sense to me. And for some people, it isn't that clear. It's harder for them to wrap their head around it. And that's okay. But for me, it was one of those things where it just clicked. And so literally just reading the book was enough for me to go, you know what, I know what this pain is, and I don't, you know, any longer need to look for a physical solution. I just need to kind of change my awareness and my now just looking at my emotional side and how that all is. So just that shift for me alone was huge. And my foot pain, you know, got 90% better within a week or two. And some people, as you know, experience that really quick, you know, realization, and then, you know, feeling like their body's responding. And then for others, it takes a lot of work and retraining the brain. The retraining of the brain was probably and continues to be one of the most important parts of my journey, just because, you know, we're so trained to think that a physical issue, a physical ailment of some sort needs a physical, or the only thing that can, you know, make it better is a physical solution. And that's ingrained in us. And it's really hard to think otherwise for most people. And so I found myself, you know, I had all of the TMS books, and I found myself so often referring back to those books and pages and just really getting it imprinted in my mind. And when the pain would come up, you know, I would do some journaling, I would do some emotional work, and I started to recognize how well that worked. And once you feel that, you know, you start to believe it a little bit more. But initially, it's hard to wrap your head around for a lot of people.
It is. And that's why I commend you and why your story perked up my ears so much, because when a person makes their living and oftentimes their persona, like their whole self, around stuff like personal training or physical therapy or things that are so innately physical, I worry, and this could be my stuff, not yours, but I worry that that's going to block them from the reality of what you have learned, which is without the physical, without the emotional work, you are spinning your wheels. And I reposted to my stories a couple days ago a quote that was something along the lines of, early childhood trauma is very linked to digestive issues, and no amount of clean eating can heal trauma. You know, it's the same thing. No amount of tip-top physical health can clear out these repressed emotions that are desperate to rise the way a beach ball under the water is desperate to rise. It's a natural process by which our human body functions. And so I just love that, you know, coming from the space of really, I mean, I don't know much about you, but clearly from what I've seen on Instagram, you really do. You're a product of your product. You know, you work hard on your body, you work hard on your overall wellness, and you present such a beautiful picture of it, that a person like you, also knowing that the emotional basis of health is integral in healing ourselves, it's a combination that I think everyone needs to hear about, because I am not in any way against physical therapy, nor am I against acupuncture or chiropractic or therapeutic massage or personal health and muscle strengthening. But it has to be hand in hand with understanding that the nervous system, which is the basis for the brain and the nervous system, if you cut off your head, you're not going to feel anything at all. So it's the basis for how everything is felt, cannot integrate whole wellness when you are in danger of losing your life. And these repressed emotions are viewed by the nervous system and the brain as such a great predator. They think that if you feel your feelings, you're going to die. And that kind of reaction can shut down any system in your body if it is deemed necessary for survival. So I just love that you're bringing this all together, because I think it's so important.
Oh, thanks, Nicole. It's been such fun work to do and just to spread this truth, because, you know, being in the industry, like you said, it's all about the physical body. And if you can just work out harder or, you know, have a stronger core or be more aligned, you know, all of those things, or like you said, eat cleaner. I work with so many people with chronic digestive issues. And I mean, I know you and I would agree on this, that I truly believe that 100% of, you know, a lot of these ailments have an emotional component. And for some, that's the cause right there. And so, you know, some people come to me and say, well, do you think this could be? And I said, well, I think everything is, it's just kind of on this sliding scale for certain people. There can be some things we can do physically to tweak that you might, but we have to get to the root, which is so often emotional. And just having that bit of wisdom in my practice has been absolutely invaluable, because you finally realize as a someone working in the health field that you can treat the physical body all you want, but so many of the issues that we're seeing today, so many of the chronic health issues, the autoimmune, the gut issues, all the chronic joint pain, you know, all of these things are the root is emotional. And so, like you said, you can eat the perfect diet, and I'm the perfect example of that. And I share that with my followers all the time. You know, I'm very disciplined, and yes, I eat very clean. I mean, Kate's Clean Life, it's right there in my, you know, my handle name. And I believe in that. I believe that the physical body is one that needs to be taken care of and respected. And that is a form of self-care ultimately. But that being said, if you don't have that other piece and recognize the importance of the emotional side, you'll only ever make it so far. And it's just really fun as a practitioner and someone that works with people with these chronic health, you know, health issues on a regular basis to have that other piece. And that's really what has made me so successful is, you know, people come to me and because I understand TMS so well and the syndrome so well, because I've made myself my own experiment. You know, once you have it, as you know, you recognize these traits in other people and these tendencies and these thought patterns that lead us to believe that whatever we're dealing with is coming from a physical issue. And it's something that is just an invaluable, you know, perspective to have, because nobody falls through the cracks. And I always tell my clients that, you know, if it's not a physical thing, if we can't help your body on a physical level, we'll heal you on an emotional level. And then, you know, there's not room for anyone to fall through the cracks. So it's been, as you know, dealing with chronic pain is not something that you want anybody to go through, but it has been something that has been absolutely just invaluable in my career, and being able to help out friends and family members and clients and having this other piece, and now just spreading this word and, you know, sending people over to your page, Nicole. So many people have reported back, and, you know, all I'll have time to say is, you know, I can't get to everyone, but I'll say, you know, that's a very common mind body thing. And if you haven't been able to find a solution here, you know, check out this, and I'll send them a link to your page, and I'll get a message back a couple weeks later. And thank you so much, because you've got all the resources that anybody needs to get better and to really learn about TMS. So it's been a great opportunity. That the suffering is not, again, something you wish on anybody, but it's been one of my greatest gifts.
Oh yeah. I often tell people, and they always curse me at the beginning, and then they come back and they say, I get it. I said, you're going to say thank God for the pain. I know that you hate it right now, and it's making you feel hopeless and helpless and miserable and in despair, but you will say thank God for the pain, because the person you are going to become is going to be so free and so connected to yourself and so able to connect with others, which is something that people don't even realize they're lacking, to be honest.
No.
You know, I often use the example of the oyster and the pearl. The reason the oyster creates the pearl is because there's a piece of sand, there's an irritant inside the oyster. And as an act of self preservation, to not be uncomfortable, the oyster layers layer upon layer into the pearl until it becomes a pearl. Nothing is created out of comfort. Discomfort is the catalyst for all of our creation. So, Kate, what I'm interested, because I know that you and I, whenever I interview someone where they've come so far, I sometimes like to rewind a little bit and to help people who might be out there in that space of despair, in that space of feeling like they don't think they're ever going to be grateful for this pain. Can you bring us to the space where you had to be strong to do the next thing? Because I can only imagine how it felt on that run when you had just gotten rid of a very terrible bout of neck pain that had left you in despair, that had left you bedridden, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. That was the space in the story where you weren't even functioning, you weren't even working. How can we help people in this belief part?
Because
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The one thing that's really interesting about that, Nicole, and something that you pulled out from our conversation earlier is just that because the chiropractor was my placebo and the root cause was never addressed, what people will learn about tension myositis syndrome is that it's going to show up somewhere else in the body.
Right.
And it's going to come back to, you know, get your attention again until the root is addressed. And I think for me, when I read about that in Dr. Sarno's book, you know, there's a lot of people that can relate and say, gosh, I had really terrible digestive issues. And then I had chronic acne and now my feet are hurting all the time. You start to kind of recognize these syndromes in people and start to really adopt the belief that that could be potentially what's going on with you. So for me, and this is kind of where the physical part comes in and how I use my practice as a kinesiologist and working with people on alignment and strength training and all that kind of stuff, is that I use exercise and movement to heal the body, even when we know it's TMS. Movement is such a great way to overcome fear. And that was when I really noticed, you know, the most kind of healing when it comes to my foot pain was when I would go out and I would run anyways. I would do the thing that you would never do if you truly thought that you had a physical injury, you know? And so for me, it was one of those things where I go, okay, thank you, body. I see what's going on here. I'm going out for a run because I'm not going to pay attention to this physical, because it's not a physical issue. It's emotional.
Right.
So I'd be in my run and I'd be just checking in with myself, you know, and trying to uncover those repressed emotions. And for me, you know, I know there's a lot of TMS therapists that really, I know Dr. Clark, your interview with Dr. Clark was so interesting. He's a bit more thinking about childhood and childhood trauma, which we know that absolutely plays a role. For me, it was more the day-to-day stuff and my personality that was so type A and put so much pressure on myself, and a person that had to show up with a smile on my face, regardless of how I felt, and so much repression happening there as a people pleaser and a goodist. And so I just started to kind of recognize that, you know, I would be in a scenario where I was people pleasing or was putting a smile on my face when I didn't authentically feel, you know, that way. And recognizing that the relationship in the pain and the flares, and it just started to become so, so clear. But really the book was something that I kept referring back to, because it was so easy to slip back into that thinking of, you know, no, I think I really do overpronate and I really did overdo it, or I heard a pop, or, you know, all these ways that TMS hides. It's a constant retraining of the brain.
It's so true. And I think that people don't realize the power of believing in the pop.
Yes.
Because when we allow ourselves to just believe that, no, I heard it, I felt it, I saw it, I experienced it, that in itself steals from our ability to think about anything else. And in that sense, we are protected. I think people need to get that one. Your nervous system and brain would prefer you to listen to the pop, to listen to the crack, to feel like, you know, my mother had migraines, of course I get migraines, would rather you say, I overdid it, or I do pronate. Right. I get it. And so what we need to do is we need to look at that part of ourselves like a small child that is confused, that is loving, but that is very scared.
Yeah.
And say to that part of ourself, of course you believe in it. We, if anyone's over the age of 10 listening to this podcast, which I imagine is every single one of you, you have been raised to believe that physical problems require physical solutions. It's the only information you've ever gotten. And so for us to not believe in the pop and the all the other things is an act of rebellion that is required. And sometimes rebellion comes from desperation, and sometimes it comes from, you know, your spiritual path, whatever you want to call it. But it's so important. And I love, Kate, that you bring up this personality thing, because believe it or not, so most people know, worked directly with Dr. Sarno for many years. And he used to say to me, kind of with a wink, wink, you know, yes, it's about childhood. Yes, it's about daily life. But you know what really gets people? The personality. Because our personalities are the lens through which we experience all of life. Yeah. From the time you're born, you have a lot of natural tendencies to be a certain way. And in those tendencies, everything is affected. I'm sure you can picture your childhood experiences and know that perfectionistic side of you, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's one thing too that's important to highlight here is that, you know, there are a lot of TMS practitioners that feel that most of this, you know, repression or whatnot is coming from childhood trauma. And in my experience, trying to figure out what that childhood trauma was and staying kind of in that analytical mind and trying to really go back and solve it so that I didn't have this pain is something that can keep the pain syndrome going. Staying in the analytical mind, especially for somebody who's already very analytical. I remember, I think it was Steve Ozanich who told me once, he said, you know, Kate, as long as you're analyzing, you are repressing. Because you're not in the moment, you're not feeling what is truly there right then. And so how are you processing those emotions? You're not. And it was really interesting because as somebody who just so badly wanted to get better and wanted to figure this out and wanted to go back, that really caused, you know, some of the pain and tension that I was having in my body to stay for a while until I figured out that it was for me, it was more about that day-to-day repression and my personality traits and really becoming aware of the ways that I was constantly repressing emotions as a perfectionist, as a people pleaser, and just recognizing that, you know, when you are a perfectionist and you're constantly falling short, that shame that is just getting just, you know, constantly repressed has such an impact on your health. And once you start to recognize it, even just become aware of it, you can feel everything shift. And that for me, again, was another like, wow, you know, there really is something to this. I didn't know, nor does our society or a doctor or anybody ever tell you that those things, those repressed emotions, those personality traits can actually cause something like neck pain or foot pain or digestive issues. It's just something it's not talked about. And for me, my biggest mission, I'll never forget, I finally was feeling better and I got back to the gym that I was personal training in, and you know, everyone was so glad I was back and healthy again and whatnot. And I remember having kind of this other piece of knowledge, and pretty soon it was like I couldn't stay in the environment where it was all about bicep curls and six packs and who was more lean and more fit. And it just, there was just this whole other, you know, other truth out there that I just wanted to so badly, you know, be able to help people with, because you could see and you can recognize in so many people that didn't have that knowledge of TMS and sort of this other perspective, that were suffering unnecessarily. And to stand back and watch somebody have a second back surgery, knowing that, you know, you can recognize these personalities, and it's not just personalities, obviously, that make, you know, we all have a mind and a body, but some of us seem to be a bit more prone to these types of syndromes. And I just remember, you know, being in the industry with a bunch of go-getter type A personalities, you just start to observe and recognize these people that are suffering from, you know, having hip replacements at 20, 30 years old. It's like, right. Oh my gosh. So yeah, it kind of became part of my mission to help, spread this word again. And like I said, it's been the most valuable part of my practice, just having this other perspective, because, and part of why I've been really pivoting the message that I'm sharing on my Instagram page is just, you can do it all, but if you don't deal with this part, you will never be truly well. And there's so many people that are starting to really relate to that, that really resonates with them, as they feel like they've tried so many different things to heal their gut or to get rid of their chronic pain. So you start to become a little bit more open to, you know, some of these other causes. And once you start to read about it and understand it, it just makes a lot of sense. And then when you do the work, when you do the journaling, when you become aware of those repressed emotions and when they start to, I love your I remember you explaining, when your reservoir of emotion starts to overflow, that's when you get a symptom. And that's
right.
Oftentimes what I've seen in my clients and what I feel in my own body is, okay, it's been a couple of days, I haven't done the work. Here's this, you know, my neck is starting to tighten up. And as soon as you sit down and just become aware of all that stuff that's festering and just allow it some space and time to be processed, you can feel the tension in your body start to dissipate. And once you recognize the value of that tool, it's just, you just can no longer deny it. Like, this is so powerful.
So talk to me, that's a great segue into journal speak, because I think a lot of people, so as people know, there are three facets to my work: believe, do the work, and patience and kindness for yourself. Kate and I have spent a great deal of this podcast on believe, because there's nothing more important than belief. It opens the door for everything. You know, it's funny that I have an IGTV series called I Am Evidence. And today, with the day we're recording, the post is on belief. And it's a quote that I heard on a TV show, which, if you're interested in hearing the whole story, go check out my IGTV series called, I think it's something like Belief Opens the Door or Closes the Door. But the quote is, "For those who believe, no proof is necessary. For those who don't believe, no proof is possible." Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's why I spend so much time on belief, because if you don't have that door open, there's only so far you can go. But once you believe, once you've gotten it into your head that you don't need a physical solution to solve a physical problem, that's when the work becomes the work. It's hard work and it can be very challenging. So Kate, considering that you have done it, tell us a little bit about how you find journal speak. Do you have resistance to it? How do you overcome that resistance? How is that practice for you in your life?
Yeah, absolutely. I think this part looks a little bit different for everybody. For me, just the belief and knowing that that's where my pain was coming from was enough to get me out of pain. And that's not the way for a lot of people, but just reading the book, you'll hear someone, they read the book and voila, they felt better. But what I've realized about journal speak and what I so appreciate about your work is that, while your pain may have gone away, if you're not addressing the root cause on a daily basis, a maintenance basis, your chance of something else coming up is very, very high. Our personalities don't change. Yes, we can become more aware, but if you're born as more of a type T personality, type A personality, you're going to carry that personality with you, throughout your life. And so it becomes so unbelievably important to do that day-to-day work. And I absolutely have resistance. There's times when I, do really well and it's a practice that I feel like I just can't live without it. It literally you feel lighter when you're done. And when you really understand TMS, you understand the health benefits of becoming aware of repressed emotions. And it's not just, TMS that we're talking about, health in general, when you understand what repressed emotions are doing to your body and how they're causing dis-ease within the body. And as a health person, for me, that's very motivating to want to do the work. But absolutely, resistance comes up where it's like, I don't have any pain. And even if something came up, like, I know it's TMS, I'm fine, I've got this. But it's not just about that. Like you said, Nicole, you always remind us, it's self-care. It's something you don't do conditionally. You're not doing it so that you don't have pain anymore. Because for those of you with TMS, you know that even that thought alone, this conditional, relationship with journaling can keep the pain syndrome in place and keep it going. So it's this unconditional, showing up every day. I explained it to my husband. We were on a bike ride. I said, I really feel like journal speak is, as a clean freak, which I am, I feel like I'm pulling over on the side of the road and I'm emptying all the trash out of my car and it's just squeaking clean. I've closed the door and I can keep going. And that's what you feel like. You just feel lighter and like everything has kind of been cleaned out essentially. So, there's days where I get a ton of resistance where like, I don't have time for this, or I don't really feel anything. But I always explain to my clients, we get really, really good at not feeling. Mm-hmm. Very, very good at escaping our own feelings. And so to me, a lot of what journal speak is practicing how to feel again. And some days you're not going to be good at it. You're going to sit down and you're going to think of all the things you should be doing instead, and that you really don't have anything bothering you. But what's really amazing and what you always explain, Nicole, is that is resistance. And so if we can just sit there and become better at and allow time and space for ourselves to actually sit there long enough, something will come up. And it's not always some major event where you think, oh my gosh, that was a huge trauma I just released. It's not that. It's just taking the time to practice feeling and processing those emotions that is just, once you do it, you really, really, it's just like anything, you get better at it and you feel the results.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's a really great point in that it's about learning to feel our feelings. We are not taught to feel our feelings. We are taught, I'm a big fan of Glennon Doyle, and I was just re-listening to Untamed for the second time. And she was saying that when she was brought up, she did not understand legitimately that all feelings were for feeling. She thought happiness was for feeling and the rest of the feelings were to be shut down or pushed away. And, when someone kind of sort of speaks your language back to you, sometimes it's like really informative because I'm like, that's so true. Even the movie Inside Out, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Inside Out. It was, the whole solution at the very end is the little girl just has to say to her parents, I feel sad. You know, like she didn't think sad was allowed because, you know, they were moving and she wasn't supposed to be sad. And it's like, I think that that's a huge thing for people to understand, that part of journal speak is getting rid of your pain. But part of journal speak is learning an integral tool that we never knew we needed to learn, which is all feelings are made for feeling. And if we deny that, it will be at our peril, because to some extent, the whole mind-body system and your body cannot function healthfully when these repressed emotions aren't felt. It's like having toxins, you know, it's like what you said, if your car is full of garbage, you know, you can drive around in it, but it's not going to feel great.
Yeah.
And I have another former client who used to say, it's like you go to the farmer's market and you get the most beautiful array of fresh and vibrant fruits and vegetables, and you come home to your refrigerator that's full of rotten, festering food that's never been cleaned out. So you could put all your beautiful organic produce into that. You can shove it in there, but it's not the same as if you cleaned it out and gave that light and that space. Picture a clean refrigerator with that fluorescent light. You can see it go straight through.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing for your body here.
It is. And you can feel it happening. That's what's so neat. And the more you do it, you know, the more you feel, it's just like any practice, you know, whether it be yoga or whatever it is, that the better you get at it, the more benefits you're going to reap. And it's so important to approach the practice with that non-conditional, you know, I'm just going to do this to take care of myself because I know it's good for me, rather than if I do this, I'm going to clear up my acne, I'm going to get rid of my back pain. Because as more of a type A personality, that's something that, you know, I found myself doing a lot. It's like, I'm just going to do this because I've got 10 minutes and I need to check this off my list so that I'm not in pain so that I can go on a run tomorrow. And that's just not the way to approach it. And that's what's really interesting and something that I want to highlight a little bit in my journey. There were really, really small things, whether it be a little thought or something that I was doing that would sometimes keep the pain pattern going. And it could be as simple as something like that, you know, doing this conditional type thing. Or gosh, there was just so many little things. I remember referring back to the book thinking, wow, this is just a simple little thought that even just the slightest, well, you can even be a subconscious belief that, you know, when I bent over, I heard it pop. And just grabbing on to that belief can be enough to keep people in pain. I'll have a lot of clients say, you know, I get this and I've read the book, and but you don't understand. When I bent over, I heard it pop, and then I had the x-ray, I had the MRI, here's the bulging disc, but what we don't understand is that not all popping is actually bad. I talk a lot about that in just the body work that I do. And then not all abnormalities, in fact, in my opinion, most of those, you know, abnormalities that you're seeing in an MRI, they don't cause
pain.
No, there's more people with those. And I could share so many stories, Nicole, of clients that have come to me. I'm thinking of a woman in particular who came in and had 9 bulging discs. I'll never forget. She walked in and she said, she was just in tears, as you would be. And she said, I just saw the surgeon yesterday and I'm scheduled for surgery. And she said, you know, here's my MRI and I've got 9 bulging discs and look how severe this is. And I've got spondylolisthesis and several, you know, all the different abnormalities that they had noted. And I said, okay. And I understood TMS at this time. And I said, okay. And I knew that foundation training, for those of people listening that don't know what it is a therapy that I'm certified in. And it's created for back pain. It's really a neat therapy that works on alignment and whatnot. But as a foundation training instructor, it's invaluable to have this other part, because here I am attracting all of these people with back pain, which is one of the most common mind-body syndromes. And so here are all these people coming to me with back pain. If they do not respond to physical stuff, that's when I bring up the emotional component. And then again, nobody falls through the cracks. But what's really interesting is watching how often foundation training works as the placebo. And so somebody's back will get better. And I'm watching this happen. And then pretty soon, you know, something else shows up similar to my story. And so at that point I say, okay, here's the deal. And then they're able to recognize, it's like, no wonder, you know, this worked. It was a total placebo. So it's invaluable to have that piece. But, I don't remember where I was going with that.
I don't know if you were going to tell us the end of the story, the woman with the 9 bulging discs.
Yes.
Yes. How'd it go
so,
for her?
So having that information, she had heard so much about foundation training. And again, for her, it was a belief. And I'm kind of watching this happening and I'm thinking, regardless of what makes this woman better, you know, we just want her to get out of pain. It was about 2 weeks of doing foundation training and, you know, this new cutting edge therapy. And she was out of pain. And of course I knew, you know, what was going on the whole time, but that's the power of this work for anybody listening is that, and I have multiple stories of where I can literally still see these clients' MRIs in my mind, and they're completely out of pain and golfing and doing all of the things that the doctor said they would never be able to do, completely pain free. And some of them, that's one thing about my work, Nicole. I was consulting with Steve Ozanich about a year ago. For those of you that don't know, he's another mind body guy. I think it was The Great Pain Deception that he wrote.
Yes.
So I was consulting with him and I remember him saying, he said, "Kate, you do the exact opposite of what I do." And I remember thinking, well, that's weird because I really believe in this whole TMS thing, and I could see exactly what, you know, why he was saying that. But what's so nice is having this awareness and this peace as, you know, the professional that I am, because for some people, it's really, as you know, Nicole, it's really hard for them to take on this belief. It is ingrained in them, especially I almost feel like the older they are, the harder this is for them to kind of wrap their head around. So some of my clients never take on the belief that it was TMS, but the therapy was enough to fix them. And again, like I always say, at the end of the day, all that matters is they get better. Now, that being said, if you don't address the root and you truly think
it'll
it is physical,
be somewhere else.
There
body.
You go. It'll pop yeah. up as something else. But yeah, the amount of people that have come in with just severe abnormalities in their MRI and just explaining to people that, look, there are more people with this and even more severe than what you've got here that don't have pain. And I think that's something that's just so important to keep reminding people that I understand that you have had an x-ray and there's an abnormality and that the doctor is telling you this is why you have pain, but it's now become brain science. We know for sure that abnormality does not equal pain.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, since I've been a little girl, way before I could have worried about my physical body, maybe 4 or 5 years old, my earliest memory, when I bend my knees, they crack. Mm-hmm. They just crack. It's disgusting. I mean, to mm-hmm. some, I'm so used to it, I don't even care, but they crack loudly. And I bend my knees fully many times a day. And every time, as long as I haven't bent them in 5-10 minutes, they're going to crack again. And my yeah. whole life, people have looked at me sideways and go, "Does that hurt you?" And I'm always like, "Oh, no." Like I've never had quote unquote bad knees, but I can also have a tremendous amount of compassion and connection and understanding for those who hear that crack and yes. and their TMS takes hold because their brain and their nervous system needs somewhere to put that deep emotional repression that hasn't been felt. It starts being felt through their knees. Their knees crack. It's further fortifying the belief that something is wrong with them. And then they're off to the MRI. And the MRI, most likely, as Dr. Sarno often said, will find a normal abnormality in your body. You'll have arthritis in your knees, or you'll have spondy, or you'll have discs, or you'll have, you know, shoulder stuff. And I have the most significant examples throughout my work of people who have crazy looking MRIs, and mine included, that have no pain. Yeah. So just so important for people to realize. So Kate, listen, I'm looking at my time and I need to wrap, but I want to, before we finish the interview, because it's so great and I know you and I could go on for hours, is there any message that you want to give people that are maybe struggling that the way you struggled at your worst, when you were having to be cared for by your parents, when you're basically on disability, what do you want to say to people who are in that low space?
Yeah, I would love to just kind of spread a message of hope. There's so much hope. The human body is always trying to heal. And if you haven't healed, if you've tried everything, there's so much hope, because once you figure out what the body needs to heal, it does heal. And so if you've been looking, you know, at all of the different physical solutions, you're not alone. That's pretty much where everybody goes initially. And then once you feel like you're not making any headway there and you start to explore the emotional side, there's the healing potential is endless. And I feel like, you know, even 10 or 15 years ago, this talk was a little bit woo-woo, so to say, but now it's brain science and it's been proven, and you'll start to feel that in your body. And at that point, when I'm working with clients, I can think of a couple in particular, you just see them light up because they know that's what it's going to take for them to heal, doing that work and taking on the belief. So no matter what you're going through, there is so much hope. And when you treat the mind and the body together, the healing potential is just, it's just endless.
Amazing. Amazing. So Kate, if people want to learn more about what you do, where can they find you?
Yeah. So I'm on Instagram. Kate's Clean Life is my handle. I've also got a website, katescleanlife.com. And I put out kind of daily posts just about all different kinds of, like Nicole said, I treat the mind and the body. So there's definitely nutrition stuff on there and exercise, as well as a lot of mind body stuff. So Instagram is probably the best way to find me.
Absolutely. I love seeing your stuff. I love seeing your beautiful pictures, and I'm jealous of your mountains, but we're not going to talk about that right now. Love mountains. But thank you, Kate, so much for taking the time to talk with me today about this incredibly important topic.
You bet. And thank you, Nicole, for everything you've done. You've had such an impact in my life, and I can't thank you enough.
Well, it's my privilege, it's my pleasure, it's my joy, it's all my things. All right, guys, this has been an amazing talk on The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs. If you're enjoying the podcast, please go over to iTunes and rate and review it. It helps so many people find the podcast that need it. And until next time, enjoy your life, be well, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.